unprecedented drama, maybe some expected confusion in this transition, and possibly some repudiation of the long-held traditions of Washington and the presidency. That characterizes the first weekend of the Trump era, filled with more drama than a new president might have wanted, especially in light of the huge marches that took place around the country and the high disapproval ratings for this incoming president. Martha Kumar is the director of the White House Transition Project. She's the author of the book Before the Oath, How George W. Bush and Barack Obama Managed a Transfer of Power. Martha, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, John. It's nice to be with you.
Can I just get a sense from you, storms are like Category 5, Category 4, Category 3, in terms of the kinds of changes that are envisioned by this president, is this a Category 5 or is this something that is well within precedent in your historical memory?
Well, he's talked about a great change, but he has not really specified what that change is. Reagan, when he came in, talked about change as well. President Reagan wanted to eliminate two departments, energy and education. And when he left, not only were those departments still there, but Veterans Affairs, he added. In George W. Bush's administration, when he came in, he had laid out, even though his transition was not a 73-day, but rather a 37-day one, during that time, he laid out what his priorities were going to be. In he came in, the first week was education week. Second week was faith-based. Third week, military build-up. Then he did tax reform and budget cuts. When you're coming in, if you're going to lay out change, you have to do it in a very organized fashion. And I think we can see here the difficulty of getting going when over the weekend they were playing defense and spending time not on policy, not on their agenda, but griping about the news media. And reality is every president feels that he's a victim of the press. And that's just something that you have to get over.
Let me ask you about the idea that without a coherent plan and with a lot of people guessing, some have described that he, just in terms of his style, has already changed the presidency, that he's a sort of Jacksonian figure coming into the White House. Does that lack of a plan represent a kind of power over the agencies because they keeps them guessing, and that at least in the short term, he has a certain kind of leverage that no other president has really even tried to use?
I think we'll have to see how that's going to work out. I think it's difficult to move government, and you have to have a plan. You have to have the backing of Congress, and there he has Republican control. And then you have to have the personnel. At this point, they have the cabinet secretaries all selected, and they did that early, but they don't have the deputies lined up. At least they haven't released them. And so that is going to be important as well. And then getting those people in there. So it takes a while to stand up the government because you want about 400 people in by the August recess of Congress, confirmed and in their jobs, because career people are not going to be able to move the departments in the same way that a political team will.
I'm thinking about the style and the transition of Ronald Reagan when he came in 1980. I can imagine that if there were the scale of demonstrations the day after his inauguration that we saw over the weekend with the women's marches around the nation and the world, that Reagan would have made an attempt to absorb that Democratic outpouring as something he was responsible for. He would have said, wow, what a great country. Those are my people. I hear you. And even if he wouldn't have been agreeing with everything that he saw, he would have made an overture that would have, in a sense, absorbed the sense of political conflict. Trump has not done that. Do you have any advice for what you would do in a situation like we saw over this weekend, which was unprecedented?
I think that Reagan always looked at things as sunny side up. And one of the things that he was able to do was balance things in such a way he could talk about change, but then give people who were in government and surrounding government some sense of confidence in his willingness to bring them in. So, for example, after the election and after he had taken a short vacation, he came to Washington and he gave a party at the F Street Club. And the guests for that party were the leadership of Congress, not just bringing together Republicans, talking to Republicans, but he brought in the Democrats on the Hill and the committee chairs and minority heads of committees. But he also brought in operatives in Washington, people like Robert Strauss, a well-known Democrat, Lloyd Cutler, also a Democratic lawyer, and people that he knew were important to make Washington work, and let them know that he needed everybody to be working along with his administration. He didn't see himself just as a Republican president, but rather he was making that switch from being a candidate to being president of the United States, president of all the people. And that is a change that President Trump needs to bring about, because he has spoken about the campaign and in campaign mode all the way through the transition. And he needs to make that switch.
How much sympathy did you have? I know you spent a bunch of time attempting to deal with what appeared to be serious discrepancies about, you know, crowd sizes, et cetera, in that CIA speech. And then, of course, popping up the alternative facts phrase that I believe Ms. Conway used at a certain point.
Yes, yesterday.
You know, they've got a job if he's going to continue doing this.
I thought it was just a real waste of time. What you want to do is come into the briefing room and talk about the president's program. These early days are important because the public is watching and the public is listening. And later they're going to tune out. But you have the goodwill for a president in those early days. And you want to make use of it to start your program off, to explain to people what it is that you want to do. What are your priorities? What are those programs? And you don't want to waste your time talking about crowd size.
Nothing's more precious than having the attention of the American people. That's the takeaway from Martha Kumar, director of the White House Transition Project. She's author of the book Before the Oath, How George W. Bush and Barack Obama Managed a Transfer of Power. She spoke to us from Washington, D.C. Martha, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.